This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company on this. It is the first Monday, isn't it, of 2025? My guest, Berta Björnsdóttir, is here. Hello.
Hi, Darren. First Monday, isn't there around 20 Mondays in January every year?
It feels like it. And also, this is the first day in about 2 weeks that I've actually known what the day is.
Yeah.
Because every day's been like Sunday, as somebody once sang, hasn't it?
It sounds like you had a good holiday.
I did indeed. Did you have a good time?
I did as well, yes.
Happy New Year too.
You too, Darren. Thank you.
And happy Christmas, Glenn, yeah, all as well. I've not seen you since then.
No, that's true.
Now, we're going to talk in our conversation today on this episode of The Week in Iceland about one of the reviews of the year that took place, which is Áramótaskaupið, which, of course, it was broadcast just before midnight on New Year's Eve. But before that, you were responsible this year for RÚV's compilation of news from throughout the year, weren't you?
Yes, we were three that made that show yearly show together. It's basically an hour-long show combined with every newsworthy story of the year. So it's quite a project to take every, we kind of watch and read every news bulletin that we made throughout the year and try to make a whole, like I said, an hour-long program out of it.
I mean, I made one compilation this year on RÚV English Radio of some of the material from 2025, but you're working with the entirety of all of the news.
Yes, and both what happened here in Iceland and also all around the world. So it was, of course, it's difficult to choose.
And how do you start?
We know the big stories. We know that we're going to have, you know, Gaza and Ukraine, and we're going to have the politics in Iceland. And, you know, we know kind of the main stories, and then we take it from there. And it takes a lot of changes before we start in November, working on this project. And it changes a lot in these weeks that we...
And all the time hoping that nothing significant happens by the time you've made the bulk of the program.
Yeah.
And I don't think it did it? You got to the end of the year without any major surprises.
Yes, we had to make one adjustment after this terrible car accident in South Africa. Mm. That was the only thing that we added kind of after Christmas.
Yes, that was a terrible story.
Yes,
it
was for sure.
Well, let's turn to 2026. And
it starts with a bang.
It certainly has started with some news, hasn't it? This is the invasion. Mm-hmm. I think we can reasonably call it that, of Venezuela by the USA. And an interview given by Donald Trump to The Atlantic magazine, it was published yesterday, in which he reiterated this idea that he wants Greenland. Mm-hmm. Now, that's significant in Iceland because they are, of course, our neighbours.
Yes.
Iceland is also part of NATO, as is the USA, as is Denmark. So lots of politicians here in Iceland, as elsewhere, are looking at this very carefully, aren't they?
They are, for sure. Iceland has, of course, also a long history with the US. They had a military here. The U.S. military came here in World War II and had a base here for many years up until 2006, if I remember correctly. There is still some activity here in Keflavík Airport. Regular visits from the U.S. military, and the area is still used for NATO military exercises. So the connection is long, and the history between the two countries. And so, like you mentioned, with this constant and growing interest that the President of the United States has with Greenland, which is our next door neighbor, it's of course a huge interest here. And Greenland is a Danish colony, like we used to be. So of course we follow this developments very closely.
And I think it is, again, fair to say that there are many people in Greenland who don't want to be part of the Danish crown. That's obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
But there are very, very, very few people, as far as I can tell, according to recent polling, in Greenland who want to be part of the USA. There are some,
mm-hmm.
but it measures in single figures, doesn't it, in terms of percentage?
Yeah, it does. And I think the independence of Greenland is something that they're aiming for, not in maybe coming months or even years, but, you know, in the future. So nothing that has to do with whether it should be Denmark or the US who are in control. It should be themselves when they are ready to do that.
And in the Greenlandic elections last year, a party that is softly in favour, you could say, of independence for Greenland,
mm-hmm.
when the time is right, I think is their position. They were the ones that came top and now lead Greenland. But very much a rebuke to Trump in that election, yes, because all the parties that, exactly, that opposed him did well.
And in the recent news, I mean, it was yesterday that the president of, what do you call it, Landstjórn, it's called that in Greenland, they who was in charge, he said, you know, enough is enough with this huge interest that Trump has. Mm. So did the Prime Minister of Denmark, which was backed up by our Prime Minister in a statement, yes, as well. So everyone in this area is kind of, you know, speaking the same language when it comes to these ideas.
People very close to the Trump administration who are making the link between Venezuela and Greenland, yeah, even if he denies it himself, which he did in this Atlantic article. You've got Katie Miller, who is the wife of Stephen Miller, who's, yeah, a very, very, very close aide,
true,
to Donald Trump, posting on social media a US flag which had been laid over a map of Greenland, and the word soon. Mm-hmm. This is extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But when he has, of course, when you combine this, of course, with this interest that Trump has shown in, yes, Greenland, because he says that for them, defense-wise, it makes sense for them to hold their position there. But I think we just have to wait and see what happens. I mean, what happened in Venezuela has not yet happened in Greenland. So, but this is clearly going to be something that, yes, not only us, but all other news media is going to be covering and wondering about.
For sure. And that's why we're talking about it on Rúv English Radio, because there is an Icelandic element to this, of course. You've got the Icelandic Prime Minister, as you say, Kristrún Frostadóttir, yesterday, I think,
yes,
posting, yeah, as she did, Greenland is part of the Danish realm. Nothing about Greenland. Without Greenland, Iceland stands firmly with its friends. And we've also heard from both the current foreign minister and indeed the previous foreign minister as well, who sits for the Independence Party, mm-hmm, Thordis Kolbrun Gylfadottir, also saying that Greenland should not be discussed without the involvement of the Greenlandic people. So, yeah, this seems to span, you know, given that she sits for the Independence Party, this idea that Greenland should not be controlled against its will by the USA. That idea seems to span quite a few parties in Iceland, mm-hmm, doesn't
and
it?
And I think that, yeah, for sure. And I think it hits a note with us, like I mentioned earlier, because we used to be a Danish colony, so, and we are a very small state, so we kind of have to stand with everyone who is in risk of being attacked or overthrown by someone else.
And indeed today, Monday, in Althingi, in the parliament here in Iceland, the Foreign Affairs Committee has been meeting. So there's, yes, been more attention on that than,
yeah,
usual,
sure,
you might,
yeah,
say, hasn't,
yeah,
there?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's turn to alcohol and the sale of alcohol in Iceland.
Okay.
Now, I don't drink. I used to. I don't anymore, so, yeah, this doesn't really affect me. But my partner will often ask if we can go to Vinbjuden to pick up,
yes,
supplies for him. That's the state alcohol store.
It is,
but it's,
yeah,
not the only place, is it, that you can get alcohol in Iceland?
No. It used to be for many years and decades, this monopolistic trade with alcohol in Iceland. But then there's a loop in the system. So there are more and more shops that are currently online, which are based outside of Iceland. But you can buy it here and get it, I think, home delivered and something like that, which found kind of a loop in this market or in this regulation about selling alcohol in Iceland.
Yes.
So these news that you're mentioning now, it has to do with we have law about when you can sell alcohol. You can't do that 24/7, for example. And these pages, if I can understand correctly, we're selling outside of this legalized time.
Although I think what they were saying is they weren't so much selling it, they were allowing it to be picked up. It had already been sold,
true,
so collected,
yeah,
I suppose. And that's maybe where the grey area,
yeah,
is here, I guess.
And there is a lot of grey area and kind,
yes,
of loop. So these shops are not breaking any law. They're, but, you know, then I think it's kind of a wild west in this market.
There are two stores or two businesses here. There's Smárikið,
yes,
and also Nýja Vinbjúðin.
Yes.
And you don't need to be too far down the path of your Icelandic lessons to guess that means New Vinbjúðin,
yes,
doesn't it, I guess?
Compared to the other one.
Compared
which is
to the original,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got the owner of Nýja Vinbjúðin, Sverrir Einar Eriksson, saying that he was surprised that the police came to the premises to say it's after 11, therefore you shouldn't be selling alcohol, or you shouldn't be conducting this business, because he would, yeah, yeah, make the case that actually we weren't selling it, it had already been sold. And again, looking at polling on this, it seems to be quite an even split, as so many things are in Iceland, about whether people want to see alcohol on sale everywhere,
yeah,
as,
yeah,
it is in many other countries.
And, yeah,
yeah,
in
supermarkets.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that likely to change, or is that going to be a conversation that Iceland has, do you think?
It has been a conversation for many, many years. Some parties have been, you know, more than others, putting it, you know, up for debate. I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon, but, you know, who knows, one day maybe. But it's, like I said, it's like a 50-50 debate. And in this market, which is kind of a... it's kind of untraditional. We have that in some other Nordic countries, but, you know, not...
And Canada as well, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But of course, like in every other like marketplace like that, people will try to find loopholes or try to, you know, work out the system that, you know, some think that doesn't work or shouldn't, is too strict.
Some of the licensing rules do fascinate me. That, for example, you can't buy contact lens fluid in a supermarket. You have to go to a pharmacy for that. but you can buy melatonin.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is not for sale at all in, for example, the UK.
No.
So that's a bit of a... It's fascinating, isn't it? These sort of strange contradictions. And there's presumably lots of reasons why we've ended up in that position, why you can do some things in Iceland and not others.
Yeah, maybe not even reasons. Maybe because someone decided something 10 years ago and no one has done anything about it since.
Yes.
It's just because.
I did spend one of my first trips here, I spent a frustrating 20 minutes going around, I think it was Hakoip, looking for contact lens fluid, only to discover it wasn't for sale there.
So you only bought melatonin instead.
I bought melatonin and tried to see using that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about petrol prices, because this is another big change. It just came into force. The law just made it in before the end of the session last year in Althingi. This is the petrol duty, and indeed the duty on diesel as well, that's been replaced at the pumps with, I think it's a 6 kroner per kilometre charge instead.
It's almost 7, I think, 6 point something Icelandic kroners. Yeah, like you mentioned, this was a bill that was approved in December, so, and just, you know, the gasoline prices were reduced from the first day of... 1st of January.
And they did fall, because I filled up yesterday and I paid 1.83 for a litre at a petrol station where I'd probably have paid about 2.85 maybe. So, yeah, so it did fall by about 100.
It is. But instead, like you mentioned also, this kilometre charge takes place. And that has to do with, I think it's only cars and vehicles under 3.5 tonnes and they pay almost 7 Icelandic kronas for each kilometre they drive from now on. And this amount is kind of based on the assumption that fees for the average petrol car will remain the same before and after the changes.
I did a quick calculation in my head yesterday, and if I've done the sums correctly, then there's almost no change. In fact, maybe a very slight drop, actually, but we're talking about a few kroner.
Yeah, but maybe for, I drive an electric car, so the change for me might be a bit more because I don't buy any petrol.
But electric cars were... already subject to a fee, weren't they? But it's less, isn't it?
It's less.
Is it 2 kroner around that per kilometre?
I'm not sure.
But it means now that any driver of all cars, we've all got to register the distance we travel. Yeah. When? How long have you had to do that then?
This is my second year, I think, or third.
Yeah. And have you found that it's worked quite well? Because obviously the details that you put in then give an estimate of how much you have to pay. Has it been reasonably accurate?
Yeah, it has.
Well, I made my first recording again yesterday. In fact, I don't think I needed to because the car was inspected last year and therefore it had a reading in 2025. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, when the money comes off, if it does track the amount of driving that people are doing. And one of the other consequences of this might be, you know, if you're moving a big chunk of the costs to the distance you've travelled instead of how efficient your car is, then, you know, we might find that Land Cruisers become even more popular because you might as well go for a vehicle that burns more petrol.
That's true. And I think it's a huge interest in this. I mean, petrol prices is something that we always discuss in Iceland. And I was driving around town on the 2nd of January and there was this huge line outside of Costco where they...
Which is always the cheapest.
Yes. So there's something that I think many Icelanders waited until the new year to fill up the cars.
We should say, of course, that Costco has very cheap petrol, but you've got to pay the membership fee every year to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk about the ugliest buildings in Iceland, which is, you know, a very subjective thing. People will have their own views on this. But the 5 lowest rated new buildings in Iceland are all located in Reykjavik. Now, There's one building here that I don't think anybody, not even the people that built it, would say is beautiful, and certainly not the people that have to stare at the thing from their windows.
The neighbours.
Absolutely. This is the Green Monster in Álvabakki, in Breiðholt, which is the building that sprung up in very controversial circumstances, and it does absolutely block the view and block the light of people who are living in the adjacent flats. No one's going to say that's a beautiful building.
I don't think so, no. I think it's fair to say that it is clearly not among the most beautiful buildings in Iceland, for sure.
No, it's called the Green Monster for a reason. It got 43% of the votes.
Yeah.
However, there are some other buildings here, which, as I say, the Landsbankin headquarters by the harbour in Reykjavik, I think it's really nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And I think every list like this has two different opinions, right?
Yes.
You can find a building and, you know, you have people who either love it or hate it and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Because there are lots of buildings in Reykjavik that are quite functional. You know, they're not designed to be beautiful. They're designed to do a thing, to have a purpose.
That's true. That's true.
And I suppose, you know, in the 60s, you've got Kópavogur particularly growing really quickly. So lots of buildings were thrown up quite quickly, weren't they?
Yeah. And then we have, in my opinion, also it's different where buildings fit in, if you can say.
Yes.
I mean, buildings can be kind of beautiful, but then they're in the wrong setup and vice versa.
Yes.
Buildings that are not quite so easy on the eye, but, you know, work well because they're in a well-structured environment. For instance.
Smithia, which houses some of the Althingi parliamentary offices, mm-hmm. which is across the square, isn't it, from the main building. It's a very modern building.
It is.
It's sort of tucked away into the corner. I think it looks all right. But I suppose by comparison with the original Althingi building, which is so old, it's still got the Danish crown on it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a contrast, maybe?
It is, yeah. But like I said, it's you can find people who will say that this is a very well-structured, beautiful building, and you can find people who will say it really isn't. So
yes. I wonder if we should instead ask what the most beautiful building is.
Yeah,
I think
so.
House of Vigdis is going to get a few votes, isn't it?
Probably. And Harpa is for sure.
Harpa, yeah. But again, even Harpa, some people would say it's not as nice as the old dock that was there before.
Let's wait for that list, which is kind of more positive, right?
Absolutely.
In
absolutely.
The new year.
Now, we mentioned this at the start of the conversation. I can't remember, actually, if the Green Monster appeared in Aura Moitaskopith.
Not this year, I think.
I thought it might have done, because it's had the nation talking.
Maybe last year or the year before that.
Aura Moitaskopith is the New Year meeting, if you translate it sort of literally. And it's the TV show that pretty much everybody in Iceland watches on New Year's Eve at 10:30. You can see and watch the fireworks go silent.
And the traffic as well and everything just turns silent.
It's incredible to watch. And then, of course, the second it finishes, as soon as the credits roll, bang, 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 all the fireworks go off again. I'm assuming you watched it?
I did, for sure. It's like a decade-old tradition here in Iceland. Every New Year's Eve, we sit down, even it doesn't matter if we are 99 years old or 2-year-olds, and watch this program, everyone who is awake at this hour. It has huge ratings every year. I mean, like you said, almost everybody watches it.
I think the share figures are somewhere in the region of 97-98%.
I think it's the most, not even Eurovision or any other sports tournament.
No. In fact, I asked one of our former colleagues who was also the person that ran Stöðtvö in Iceland. And I said to him, you know, if you run the channel that isn't RÚV in Iceland when that show's going out, can you just put out anything? He said, kind of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
for that hour, it doesn't matter.
Just a blank screen. Picture of a wall, yeah, for sure. But this is a combination. It's a new group that makes this program every year.
Yeah.
So they kind of have new writers and directors almost every year. And it's politics, sports, what we Icelanders were talking about in the recent year, what we were fighting about, what we were doing online. So it's kind of like a mirror, in a fun mirror of what we were doing in the year that is almost over.
Yes. Can you name for me the mayor of Reykjavik?
Yes, I can.
You can?
Yes, I can.
What is her name?
Her name is Heiða Björg Hilmisdóttir.
Because one of the sketches played on the idea that no one knows who she is.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Does she have a lower profile compared with the previous mayor or mayors?
I wouldn't say so, but I'm working in the news, so maybe I'm not a good question to ask
yes.
But I for sure know her name and have known for a very long time. But yeah, that was kind of... She made a TikTok video herself after...
In response to this, yeah.
Yeah, in response to that, stating her name.
Which is one way, I suppose, to take it on. I mean, do people get angry if they're in the show, or would they get more angry if they weren't in it? Do you think?
I think it's kind of a compliment if you are in this program. Some people get upset, but my feeling is that people get more upset on behalf of others, not those who are, you know, kind of. In the spotlight, in the show, but some people get offended on behalf of them for some reason.
And some of our colleagues have had cameo roles in this.
True.
I remember Bowie was on, I think, last year's.
Yeah, and he was in the Krakkaskaup, the kid version of it this year.
Yes,
I actually did a small in 2024, playing a reporter with two of my colleagues.
Yes.
So.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, and the kids version of Automotoscope.
Yes.
We watched that as well. It's on about 7 o'clock, I think. It's a few hours before.
Actually, they aired first the day before.
Okay.
The 30th, yeah. But
okay. And maybe also on the 31st as well. But no, we watched that. And again, if you're trying to learn the language, because this, I don't know whether that edition was subtitled in English, but certainly subtitled in Icelandic.
Yes.
So you can watch it with the text and try to pick up some words. The main edition of Automotoscopið is... subtitled in English.
Yeah.
It was broadcast on Rúv 2, which is the second service. And I think it's also still available on the Rúv player.
If
you want to watch it.
It
so
is, for sure.
If you want to see it with English subtitles, just head along to Rúv.is and you'll follow the links there to Sjónvarp and go to Rúv 2, Rúv 2. You'll see on that day, on the 31st of December in Dagskrá, which is the schedule, you'll be able to find your way to that programme and see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
And there is a fuss about it.
It is, definitely. And people always have opinions about it, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I think we always do vox pops in the news on the 1st of January to ask people in Kringlan or in Smáralind or wherever, just to ask, what did you think about the Automotoscope?
Yes. And this
has been running
for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah.
And sometimes with things that have been running for such a long time, you can see the popularity sort of drop off as the time goes on. But as we say, this is as big a show, maybe bigger than it's ever been.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because it has also become a tradition. And it isn't owned by anyone. It's always a kind of a new group with new, fresh eyes that, you know, get this project every year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's not owned by anyone, just by Icelanders. And I think we kind of, maybe it's... Of course, a version of we also like to look at ourselves. I mean, it's kind of a reflection of what we were talking about, what we were fighting about, what we were discussing in the year. So that's kind of I think.
Yes. And somebody somewhere will be taking notes already then.
For sure, yes.
As we're into 2026.
Yes.
So that they've got a head start when it comes to putting together the show for 2027. You'll not be involved in the review of the year again this year. It'll be someone else's.
I don't know.
Turn. You don't know
no,
yet.
No,
yeah.
We didn't get the project until October or something. So
did you enjoy it?
I did. Yeah.
Because I know it was a lot of work.
It
as
is.
You said.
But it's a different kind of work if you compare it to a job I do every day, which is kind of we have a news bulletin every night. So this is kind of we have a deadline in 2 months or so. So that's different. And also to do a 65-minute TV show is quite different than doing. News bulletin every night.
Yes,
for sure. I enjoyed it for sure.
Great. Well, lots of ground covered there as we head into 2026. Beata, thanks very much indeed. We shall talk again.
Takk, Darren.
Rúv English Radio. My name's Darren Adam and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from Rúv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Rúv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Rúv.